The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from midday with Gary Capewell, Rory Delaghi and Darren Owen in the studio. We have jumping from Catterick and all-weather action from Kempton on their Polytrack and Southwell on their Fibre Sand. So three meetings in total. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good man. Right, what we're going to do, as usual, on this early edition of the podcast is we'll start with the Racing Post Monday jury and then we'll get Mick's picks for Tuesday. But quickly before we get onto that, Mick, a bit of news. Jamie Spencer, he's not retiring after all. He's taken a U-turn in his decision and will ride freelance next year.
Yeah, good move as well. With the jockey merry-go-round, there's going to be plenty of good rides going begging, isn't there? And I think Jamie's thought about it and he's done the right thing in reversing his decision. I always thought he would.
Yeah.
When reality bit, the nearer he got to packing up. And he'll go in with a fresh start as well, won't he? New challenge, fresh outlook, not attached to anybody. And because that can be wearing, you know, it's you've got to revolve around their plans. He can do his own thing, and he's a good lad, is Jamie, and I'm pleased to see he's changed his mind.
Yeah, I mean he's done the right thing. He said the riding's what makes him happy. He was retired for about a few hours. He decided he wanted to carry on riding. So
I don't fancy this retirement lark. So
fair enough. It'd be good to see him carrying on riding as well, because when he gets it right. That is a very good sight, isn't it? Seeing Jamie Spencer come riding one late in the closing stage when he gets it right or something like that. So
absolutely, and we don't see it very often. I think he's a great jockey from the front.
Yeah, as well. Yeah, he's kind of pigeonholed as a waiting jockey, isn't he? But
brilliant.
He can do it either way.
Judge your pace. Yeah. A hurdle rate jockey as well. Before he sort of became established on the flat, he's got a very good strike rate over hurdles.
Yes. Something else you don't really remember about him, do you?
No, kind of thing. Absolutely.
So, bit of news as well regarding the Leopard Sound clash between Jeske and Hurricane Fly. Jeske Harrington says that Jeske's ready for the rematch.
Yeah,
should be a great match.
He'll be all the better for that comeback run, won't he? And you know, let's hope there's a few more line up to take them on, you know, and to make it into a proper race.
Yeah, hopefully so. Anything else caught your eye? Because Mad Moose has been retired. Apparently, plenty of offers to give him.
Unlike Jamie, I don't think this one's going to be reversed. You?
I don't think so. They offered. We were offering 6-4. That he didn't. He got no further than the first hurdle, and I thought that was a great prize. I was going to try and make that my nap on Saturday.
They wouldn't have it.
No. He's just a lovable rogue, isn't he? Really, and
absolutely.
It's good to see that he's getting offers for a home as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything else on your mind, Mick, before I move on?
Not really. I think we're still having the sunshine problems, aren't they?
You know? Yeah.
But it seems to be an ever-present now, that. I don't know what on earth we're going to do about it, but it just seemed to be now just the minute the sun shines, they all start flapping around and taking fences out. I mean, they turned that 3-mile novice chase at Doncaster the other day, you know, into a bit of a long-distance flat race, didn't they?
Yeah.
You know, it's just nonsense. It's a nonsense of it. You have a bet in a 3-mile novice chase, you expect them to jump 24 fences, don't you? Not half that number.
Okay, well, let's move on. The Monday jury starts with a question surrounding the champion hurdle. Would you have Forheen as champion hurdle favourite over the new one and Jeske? I do have the betting from the site here. And Forheen is 2-1, 11-4 for the new one, Jeske 11-2, 10s for Annie Power and 14s for Hurricane Fly, 16-1 or bigger prices. For the others,
I think I'd always have the current champ as favourite.
Yeah, so 11-2 is big then for you.
Very big.
Yeah.
Ridiculously big. It won't be that big if he wins impressively at the weekend, will it?
That's what I was about to say, if he goes and bolts up on the weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those, isn't it? You've got the proven performers in the new one and Jeske and the undoubted talent of Forheen. Mm. And it's priced up now, running scared of the talent, because Fahin could be really special, couldn't he?
But he could well be, but you know, he's got to go and do it, and the other two have done it, haven't they?
Yeah.
And you know, the new one's technique gets better and better, and he'll make sure this champion hurdle is going to be fast and furious. There's going to be no margin for error at all.
No. Well, you'd expect that, wouldn't you, from a championship race?
Yeah.
But, would you side with Jeske, stay with the tried and tested?
Absolutely, every time.
OK. How deep an impact can Relkeel winner Rock on Ruby make back hurdling?
I honestly think it totally depends if he wants to get back to festival winning ways, is if he's going to stay the 3 miles or not. And if he does, you know, world hurdle could be right up his street, couldn't it?
I'm not sure. I don't think he'll stay 3 miles.
No, it's a bit of a question mark hanging over him.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he'd be quite good enough to do it at the 2.5 level. But at the 3, if he did get the 3, I think, you know, he can bring his class and his undoubted turn of foot into play. He's certainly much happier back hurdling anyway. It's good to see him back in the winners' enclosure, isn't it? It was a bit of a. I always thought it was a bit of a underestimated champion hurdle winner, but. Ever since he sort of lost that crown, he's become a bit of a people's horse, hasn't he? And I mean, it's good to see they've sort of adopted him when they rejected him when he was a champion hurdler for some reason, which I found very strange. There you are.
If you miss out the festival altogether, Mick, and then you send him to the injury hurdle, which is 2.5 miles.
That's his race, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's his festival, isn't it?
So would you miss the festival and then you take on the new one again if he's had a hard race in the champion hurdle?
Absolutely. I'd be very tempted to do that.
Yeah.
I would think Connections will have an eye on that. I mean, I know the festival might be an irresistible challenge, but that entry race is his for the taking, I think.
Yeah. It's between him and the new one at the moment, isn't it? The new one's had a hard race.
Well, he's not going to have an easy race, is he?
Exactly.
Win, lose, or draw.
Yeah. Fair enough. Have you seen a better RSA chase candidate than King's Palace this season?
Yeah, there's plenty about, isn't there? I mean, it was a good performance by King's Palace, and he's good round Cheltenham, but you know, there's good ones in Ireland, and there's Safford Aru, of course, and horses like that. It's a long way off yet, Mark, to be getting carried away by his him, not knocking his performances by any means, because he's a galloper, and that's what you need to win the RSA. You don't really need too much class, if you like, but you do need to gallop and stay and jump, and he's got all those ingredients, but he won't have it all his own way come the festival.
No, he's 6-1 favourite now for the RSA, King's Palace.
What's the rest?
Whispers 7-1, Don Poli 8s, Valsalido 10-1, 12s for Safir Aru.
He looked very good in the Drinmore, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
And he looked as though the step up in trip wouldn't faze him either.
Yeah, if that's what they decide to do with him, I think he's a big challenger at 10-1 at the moment.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and Safir Aru is very interesting at 12s. Some nice prices against him if you're looking for an anti-post bet, aren't there?
Absolutely, yeah. Mm. I'm pleased that there's plenty of contenders for the RSA, because it's sort of lost a little of its luster of late, hasn't it? It'd be great to see, you know, 3 or 4 really good prospects turn up for it.
Yeah, and you look at the winners of the RSA in the past and what they've gone on to since. It deserves a big, you know, high class field, doesn't it?
So. Yeah, it does.
What did you make of the Grade 2 Navan Novices hurdle?
I thought No More Heroes, anything he does over hurdles is going to be an absolute bonus for Gigginstown, because he looks every inch a chaser, doesn't he?
Mm.
And Gordon Elliott's got a really good horse on his hands there. His jumping's getting better with racing, and for a presenting, he handles soft ground very well. And good ground wouldn't be a problem for if it dried up at Cheltenham. So, I think he's got real credentials. Take nothing away from the second, Shane Till, who he ran a mighty race in defeat, missed the fourth last and the third last, which just cost him momentum rather than energy stoppers. It just momentum stoppers, really. You had a good yardstick in colour in third. I think the form is rock solid, and I think the first two are very good horses.
Yeah, and the fact that those two pulled clear, and when Shane Till joined No More Heroes, he battled back again, didn't he, and went past him again. And at that point, I thought Shane Till was coming to win the race. So,
well, the way he battled back, you could see the hill at Cheltenham suiting Shane Till, couldn't you?
Yes. Shane Till or No More Heroes?
Well, both of them.
Well, yes,
well, Shane Till battled on, didn't he?
Yeah.
Both of them, I think, advertised their Cheltenham credentials.
Yeah. And it's only Chainsaw's second attempt over hurdles
exactly,
as well.
He's going to get better, and he made those two errors at a crucial time in the race.
So overall, I mean, you follow those two, don't you, for the rest of the season, I think?
I think it's a cracking race, because the third horse who was put firmly in his place is a good horse, Colour France.
Yeah. Fair enough. Which novice or juvenile hurdling performance in Britain over the weekend were you most impressed with?
Well, Doncaster, I think, was the place, wasn't it?
Yeah. But,
I think Nicky's horse was... he looked very good, very slick, and Peace and Co. And he stamped his credentials for one of the best domestic juvenile hurdlers around so far, didn't he?
He did. He was very impressive, Peace and Co. He went, I think he went favourite, didn't he, as well, for the triumph after that. I'll just get the betting up. So, it's 5-1 favourite now, ahead of Kalkia, who was obviously impressive in Ireland a few weeks ago, who's 6-1, and Hargam 12s, who we also saw win at the weekend. So.
Yeah. So it's building up to a good triumph, isn't it? You know, some of the cream rising to the top now.
Yeah.
And Black Lion was very impressive and at Cheltenham, wasn't he? He's getting better with racing this horse, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
And he's got a really good attitude and he's got stamina to burn. And again, he's another one who sort of, you can't wait for him to go chasing, can you?
No.
And, he's going to make his mark in the long distance hurdles, that's for sure.
Yeah, I've now got a soft spot for Black Lion as well, because he's one of my rare few winning naps this season. So, yeah. Who do you fancy for Saturday's Ladbroke hurdle?
Yeah, I was just looking at that. I mean, it's, as ever, at this stage in the game, wide open. But what I do like the look of, down at the bottom of the weights, he's got 10-4, Shelford, trained by Dan Skelton, who won the race last year with a very similar type in Willow Saviour, who had nearly an identical weight, 10-5. And he was a decent flat horse, and he's really making himself up into a useful hurdler now. A lot to like about both of his wins this season. I think they've probably had their eye on this for a while and haven't run him since October, principally to protect his handicap marker. He went up to 1.34 after winning at Chepstow, which was a good performance in that Grade 3 handicap. You know, for one, so it's only had four starts over jumps.
Mm.
And I think the other important thing is he ran really well on his only visit here over hurdles to Ascot when he was second behind Simply a Legend in a big field. He gave Simply a Legend a real fright in that. He had good horses in behind, and he certainly showed a really good attitude to nearly get back to Simply a Legend after leading and blundering at the last, losing the lead and then nearly battling back up. So he's got a good attitude for the rough and tumble of a race like that. So at this stage in what will be a trappy enough contest, but I think Dan Skelton realised he'd got another Willow Saviour on his hands, and I think they've been protecting his handicap mark for the last 50-odd days to wait for this.
16-1 for Shelford at the moment. So
yeah, that doesn't sound too shabby, does it?
Not bad at all. Sign of a Victory heading the betting at 6-1. Activial 7-1. 8 for Garde La Victoire. Clondor Warrior is 9-1. 10s for Balgari. 12-1 for Bayern. Goodwood Mirage and Vita de Rock. And then 16s or bigger.
Yeah, I can see why they like Sign of a Victory, but you know, that could get nasty if some of those above him come out and the weights go up. He's got 11-6 now, so he could easily end up top weight, if you like, and it's not going to be easy humping 11-12 around there, is it?
No. He needs the ground to probably stay fairly decent as well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But Nicky Henson has a good record in the race.
He has a good record.
He's clearly been protecting it, because he could have run him a few times in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Protecting his mark.
Absolutely. But it's wide open. I'll be more stuck into it when I see the decks.
Yeah, good stuff. Right, that's the Monday jury for another week, and we'll move on and get Mick's thoughts next on the racing on Tuesday.
William Hill Racing Radio, from the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Tuesday. Mick's picked out three races for us. He's got two at Southwell and one at Kempton, and we'll go through them in chronological order. So the 2:30 at Southwell is where we'll start, and this is a class 5 handicap over 5 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older, and 13 of them in the lineup here. Mick, which ones do you like?
Yeah, it's a competitive little sprint handicap, this. Indian Tinker's interesting for me. Has been beaten off 72 twice and 73 twice since his last win, but he has gone close to winning, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with his well-being, which is a big plus in this. But I think the key thing is that he performed very well over this course and distance last time, and that was his first run here on the Fibre Sand, and he's a son of Sleeping Indian who has got a great strike rate at the track, hasn't he? And I think the fact that he showed such an aptitude for the Fibre Sand will help him defy this mark of 74. We know how good Robert Cowell is with his sprinters, and basically, he's taking on fairly exposed, albeit core specialists like Rambo Will, who has yet to run a bad race over this course and distance, and no problem with the mark either of 72. Comes here on the back of a gutsy effort to land a competitive turf Nottingham handicap last time. That was 41 days ago. So, he's going to be there or thereabouts. And Sir Geoffrey is a bit inconsistent, but he's got a good record here on the Fibre Sand. No problem again with the mark. Tim Clark taking off 5. And it wouldn't be the first time that he bounced back after a flat run, which he did last time, only 6th of 10 over the course and distance 33 days ago. But as I say, he can bounce back from a bad one, and he's too well handicapped to ignore back into the 60s. But I was really taken with that run of Indian Tinker on his first visit to the Fibre Sand, and I think he can take this under Liam Jones.
Yeah, OK. And it is a good effort as well when you look at Medway, who won the race, rated 85, and he's running here off 74. So.
Exactly, yeah.
That's the 2:30 at Southwell, and the 3:20 at Kempton is where we'll go next. And this one is a Class 4 handicap over 5 furlongs. Sprinting again here. It's for 3-year-olds and older, 9 of them in this one, Mick. But there's some informed runners here, the likes of Doc Hay and Salvatore Fiori and Dynamo Walt. Good race.
Yeah, Dr. Parks is going to be the selection for this. It was David Probert takes the driver, Stuart Williams. Good to see David get his calendar year 100 the other day, wasn't it?
Mm.
And Dr. Parks was a very good fourth last time over this course and distance. That was his first run here, again suggesting a return to form. And he's very close to his last winning mark, but he has won off a £10 higher mark in the past. And he's got the plum draw in one as well, if David wants to be proactive on him, which he may well be. Because don't forget, he showed blistering speed to win at Goodwood back in June, didn't he? And he got going quite late on over this course and distance 12 days ago, suggesting he was just adjusting himself to the surface, etc., etc. First time at Kempton. And I think he'll be a lot sharper this time. Salvatore Fiori's comes here in good form. Jim Crowley's striking up a good little partnership with Salvatore Fiori, having won and been second on him on his only two rides on him the last twice. He's £6 higher than the last win, which means a career best is required, but does come here in good form, and Keith Aglish's horse is always worth a second look when he sends them south. So Salvatore Fiori is another one where that good drawing 5 will be a big danger to them all. And we can't dismiss the race without mentioning Triple Dream, who's he's getting closer as his mark slips, and he's now £4 lower than his February course and distance win. Not beaten far last time. Wouldn't be at all surprised if he outruns his price. He's been 20s, 25s the last few times.
Yeah.
He could be the each way angle of the race if he's going to be 20-1 again. But I'm going to give the vote to Dr. Parks. But keep a close eye on Triple Dream, who's too well handicapped to ignore.
OK, Dr. Parks and Triple Dream, a couple against the field there in the 3:20. And back to Southwell we go for the 3:30. And this one is a Class 5 handicap over 6 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. And which one do you like here, Mick?
Yeah, this is another very trappy race. We've got Thorpe Bay, trained by course specialist trainer Michael Appleby. Ali Rawlinson taking off the 5. He's a 4 times course winner. and good second of 12 at Wolverhampton 18 days ago when I last seen. So he comes here in good form. Although a career best is required, he has been holding his form well since his mark moved into the 70s, and I think he will relish the return to the Fibresand. Racing Hell, trained by Alan McCabe. Ben Curtis takes the ride. Coming back from a break, but he has won off similar breaks in the past, so it's not a problem. And another one who will appreciate the return here. And I think he should be competitive off of this this mark. And the other one of interest is Quick As We Can, who's making his Fibresand debut off a mark of 74 here. And he has been placed in the 80s. And he's still comparatively lightly raced and back to form with an excellent closing third at Kempton Park last time, and a danger to all if he takes to the Fibresand. And he does handle soft turf well. I know Mark Johnson thought it had been a bit bit quiet, but he might just be worth chancing, you know, Quick As We Can.
Okay. Is that what you do then? Take a chance?
Take a chance and Quick As We Can, who could be the better value of the, than the other two we spoke about.
OK, let's have a quick summary then, Mick, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections for Tuesday one more time.
OK, we'll do them in time order. The Southwell 230 Indian Tinker looked to relish the surface when going close last time, and I think he can go one better in that Southwell 230. In the 320 at Kempton, Dr. Parks ran really well over course and distance last time, doing his best work late on. He's got a good draw if Probert wants to be more proactive on him. And with the experience of the track he gained last time, his first visit to Kempton's all-weather track, I think he can improve on that and take that to 320. And in the 330 at Southwell, the six furlong handicap, I'm going to take a chance on course debutant Quick As We Can, who has been placed in marks in the 80s, gets in here off 74 and handles soft turf, which is often a good yardstick if you're going to handle the Fibresand, and is a danger to all if he takes to the service.
Okay, good work. Thank you very much, Mick. Good luck with that, and enjoy on Tuesday.
You will do, Mark. Thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from midday with Gary Capewell, Rory DeLaghi and Darren Owen in the studio. It's Catterick, Kempton and Southwell on Tuesday afternoon. So a bit of jumping and a bit of all-weather action. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.